Kelsey, we all support it. I'd like to call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council on Monday, May 13th, 2019. And as has been our practice for many, many years, I'd like to ask everyone to join us in reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our first item on the tonight's agenda is the approval of the executive session minutes of April 22nd.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve the April 22nd minutes by Councilman Goyas. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Motion passes unanimously. Okay. The reason for the executive session meeting under the Maryland Open Meetings Act was first to discuss the appointment, employment, assignment, promotion, discipline, demotion, compensation, removal, resignation, or performance evaluation of appointees, employees, or officials over whom this public body has jurisdiction. The second reason was to consult with our counsel to obtain legal advice on a legal matter. Okay. Next item on our agenda is the approval of the regular session minutes of April 22nd.
Motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Goyas to approve the minutes as they have been presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. The minutes stand approved. Again, the vote was unanimous. Okay. And last is the approval of the minutes of the budget work session of Monday, April 29th.
Motion to approve.
I have one thing. Sure. Where it says on page 203, PKS and Company, John Stern. I believe that when John was here that he mentioned something about increasing the taxes in line with inflation. But if a year that we don't have any inflation, we shouldn't increase the tax rate. And then I also thought that I heard him say that we needed to combine those efforts with kind of tightening the budget a little bit with some budget cuts. That's how I recall it, but it could be incorrect.
I don't recall it that way.
Okay.
Motion to approve.
Okay. All right, we have a motion to approve of the minutes as presented to the council for approval. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Opposed.
Okay. Abstain.
All right, the motion is passed 3-1-1. Thank you. All right. Next, item 2 on our agenda is the motion 2019, which is a request from Mass City Coastal Trust for a business use of the park, Berlin Falls Park, for Coast Kids activity on Saturday, May 18th. Someone from Mass City Coastal Trust here this evening? Yeah. You come up and just introduce yourself and then tell us what you'd like to do.
My name is Verena Chase.
You can have a seat. Relax.
My name is Verena Chase from Coast Kids Assateague Coastal Trust. And so Assateague Coastal Trust is the environmental kids program of Assateague Coastal Trust. And we do monthly events such as bird banding, going canoeing, or looking for critters. And we would like to use the Berlin Falls Park this Saturday to look for frogs. I hear frog calls mostly. And I'm here to ask permission because, Coast Kids members don't pay anything for the events, but if somebody wants to bring a friend or a cousin or a non-member, I charge $3 per child. I'm not sure if non-members will show up, but in case they do, I would like to ask you for permission to go ahead with that event.
Do you have any idea how many kids you hope to attend?
About 10 or 12.
Okay.
And the ages?
Ages are, well, Coast Kids in general, ages are 3 to 13. I'm not sure what the ages of the kids on Saturday will be. Somewhere between that, 3 to 13, they come with their parents, and they always come with their parents. The event is going to be in the evening from 6:30 to 8, because frogs call more in the evening.
So it's just a visual thing, or do you take pictures? Or
what? No. We'll just walk around the park, listen for frog calls, and try to identify the species.
No, but the children are supervised by their parents.
Yes, absolutely. The parents are with them the whole time.
Move to approve.
Okay. We have a motion to approve the request from Coast Kids Activity by Aspig Coastal Trust for next Saturday from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at Berlin Falls Park. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Okay, good luck, and I hope you have as much luck as the birding folks did. They have really good luck, so hope you do as well. Thank you. Okay. Next, we're on item 3A, and as most folks, I'm sure, here are aware, the Mayor and Council has been holding public meetings on next year's town budget, FY20, for the past 8 weeks. There are several steps left in the process. A public hearing on the increasing the property, real property tax rate this evening. A vote of the council setting the real property tax rate, also this evening. Tonight, there will be an introduction of the FY20 budget. And then on June 10th, there'll be a public hearing, and the council will have to do the final adoption of the FY20 budget. This is our first item, which is to have a public hearing. And after the public hearing, the council will vote on increasing the real property tax rate. There's been much discussion on this decision. The majority council members agreed at our budget work session on April 29th to increase the real property tax rate to 80 cents per $100 evaluation for the next fiscal year, which begins July 1. This is the property tax rate the council is being asked to vote on tonight. This action tonight is required by the town charter. During the public hearing on the adoption of the property tax rate, in just a few minutes, residents and property owners are encouraged to state their thoughts or suggestions prior to the council making this fundamental budget decision. Any comments by town council members are welcome and encouraged prior to the vote on the new property tax rate. Item 4 on tonight's meeting agenda will provide for the town administrator to conduct the first reading of the fiscal 20 budget. The general fund revenues and expenses for the budget are based on the 80 cents per 100 property tax rate. The budget for FY20 totals $15.6 million, which is $2.5 million reduction from the current budget, which is $18.2 million in the current year. It represents a cut in next year's budget of 14% for both revenue and expenses. So everybody's ready. I'd like to officially open the public hearing on the tax rate for fiscal 20, and anyone who would like to address the council, please just raise your hand and make sure everybody gets called on. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Jeff Smith.
Come on down. If you don't, that way we keep being. Yeah, no problem. We keep being reminded that it's easier for people to hear with a microphone.
I have no. Jeff Smith, Davis Court. I have no prepared remarks this week, unlike previous weeks. I just want to say I was impressed with the way the council handled the budget work session a couple weeks ago. It was the first time in the whole process that I've heard, I think anybody has heard all of you talk about the budget in a way that makes sense and actually discuss the problem as it is. I think at this point, the compromise that you guys have reached is probably unacceptable to a majority of us, but we understand that at some point something has to be done, and you guys have a hard decision to make. So make what decisions you feel like you need to make, and know that we're still watching. I would like to say, however, for the future, and hopefully starting tonight, you guys do need to work out a plan. You can't say, as you did 2 weeks ago, that you're going to increase the budget, the tax rate 18%, and then say, and next year we'll figure out next year. You have to start working on that now, and that time has to be now. You can't say, we're going to deal with that next year. You can't look at us and tell us you're going to start charging us 18% more because you guys messed up for the last several years without telling us why you messed up, without telling us how you messed up, without telling us who messed up, and without telling us what's going to happen next year. That's what we want to hear, and we want to hear it from all of you. And that's all I've got to say.
And, Jeff, I just want to note that we appreciate your emails with suggestions about how to cut the budget, and the, yours and others that we received all were forwarded to the town administrator and the town finance director. So I just want to appreciate the time and effort you put into that.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Did you?
Hi, I'm Tracy Albrecht, 207 William Street. I understand, too, that you guys, you know, that everyone's trying to make this budget and everyone's trying to make everything work. But the people of this town and the merchants of this town, everything that you have said and everything that you have done has shown us that there's no responsibility here. Now, you guys are supposed to be the stewards of this town. They're supposed to be taking care of us, taking care of our interests. We're all turning around now. Everyone here in this town, you've got the cutest town. You've got, you know, the coolest town. Well, guess what? It's not you guys that are doing it. It's us. Because if we had derelict homes, if it was, and I hate to say it, you drive through Pocomoke. You drive through towns that didn't make it. You drive through towns that are so totally overtaxed that all they are is run down, Section 8. Everyone's moved out because they gave up. They couldn't sell, couldn't get their dollar back. So if you have a town with homes and people that take care of it like we do, you're going to turn around to us and you're going to say, we're going to overtax you because we messed up. We're going to continue to tax you because we messed up. I'm sorry. Why do we have a $3 million dog park? Why?
So you want to answer? Because our initial interest in getting that property was to make sure that we could finish the rehabilitation that had been started under the previous owners.
Let's finish that.
Yeah, okay.
Okay? Because everybody in this town knows that there are certain people that sit on this council that have certain interests and all the property that has gone through the town. Okay? So you as a town, you could have turned around and you could have put restrictions and covenants and restrictions on that property for it to be sold in the future without having to buy it. Because now the town people have a $3 million dog park that is a dog park. Okay? You show us uniform crime reports that show the stats of why we needed that new police department. Show us. Show us the crime rate. Show us the stats for the town, for the geographical reason of why we needed that police department. You show us.
Well, it's one of those things that had been needed for 30 years. We had the most outdated police facilities.
Mayor G. Williams, you and I have gone round and round on different other things. One part of town, you want to make sure everything is good and hunky-dory and everybody takes care of the sidewalks and the pedestrian and everything else. You got other parts of town where you let what happened 50 years ago continue. And you and I both know what I'm talking about. Because you can stand on my front porch, and the senators and the governor has also been at my house. And he stood on the front porch and said, what the hell is this? You've got people that walk out into the highway, pregnant women in strollers, kids on skateboards that have to go out into the street because you allow on that sidewalk parking where there's no other chattels allowed to be parked on sidewalks in any other part of this town, and you told me point blank, I am not going to put that man out of business. But guess what? Venables has all these cars and trucks around that says, you know what, we have five locations to serve you better. And I told you 2 years ago when I was here that someone was going to get killed because you continue to turn a blind eye on that side of town when you want to make this side of town gorgeous. You can't do that. And you cannot, all of you, continue to spend money and make excuses of why everyone in this town should have to pull your pockets out. We are not an open bank. And we do not have free overdraft for you to continue to write bad checks and make bad decisions and are not physically responsible for your actions. And you can't leave it on us. Because I'll tell you what, the townspeople, they have lost faith in this council. They have. Because this is not supposed to be some beer fest where everybody runs around and gets drunk every weekend and you hold town marketplaces in what, an abandoned property? You have to start using better judgment. Better judgment on everybody that's involved in this town. And then don't turn around and have excuses later on. Well, we had to buy the dog park because, you know, we had to put restrictions on it. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You could have put restrictions and covenants and restrictions on that property to be further sold, especially when everybody in this town knows that half the people on this council have been involved with all the different purchases and everything, of all the different land that's been used for everything that this town does. So don't turn around to us and then someone puts in the paper, well, between the tax rate and the adjustments for the sewer fund, we should be in pretty good shape. You should be in pretty good shape? We're not going to be in good shape. Because there's a lot of people in this town that this, the effects of the different, the property tax increase, the sewer increase, the water fee increase, the newer sewer customs utility fee charge. There's a lot of people in this town that have been here for 30 and 40 years that they are right now sitting in their kitchens going over their checkbooks trying to figure out how they're going to be able to afford to stay here. One of them is my neighbor, and she's a damn good woman. And to see her sit there and cry at night wondering where she's going to go, how she's going to do this, you guys would not have the town that you have. You would not have the people coming to visit it. You would not have all these functions going on if you did not have good people in this town. You, all of you, have to do better. Not us. Not us.
Yeah, yes, ma'am.
Yeah, my name is Deborah Fletcher. I have a 257 Powell Circle. And I want to thank Councilman Tindall for suggesting the work section that we had a few weeks ago.
Thank you, ma'am.
And he, you know, came to the table with a list of extravagances that all the town employees had, BJ membership cards, cell phones, and that's actually what I wanted to address. I retired last summer. I was an operating room nurse for 44 years, and my last job was at PRMC, who's a pretty big employer, and I worked on a general surgery team, and we did, you know, gunshot wounds, traumas, emergencies, and we all used our personal phone. The managers used their personal phones. All the employees used their personal phones when they were on call. We were given no stipends or benefits, it wasn't paid for. That's pretty much all I have to say. So things like that need to go. I don't want to pay for your personal, I mean, for a phone.
I agree.
All right, anyone else? Yes, sir. Or yes, ma'am.
Can I see?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Suzanne Parks, Baker Street. I have a question. Do you know of any employers who pay part-time health insurance to their employees? Aren't you considered part-time? You're not full-time.
And you're not employed. Some get health insurance, some do not. It's up to each person. I don't get health insurance. Never asked for it. It depends on each person.
But there are some that do.
Yes, that's their option.
That was my question.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. At a lot of them, but
no.
On the line item on each thing that says health claims, what is that exactly? Don't you have health insurance, and that's what that premium is? What is health claims?
Yeah, Mike can answer that question.
Joe, okay. Can you use your microphone, please?
Yes.
Yeah, please.
There are two items in the budget as it relates to each department and our health insurance for the town. The one line item specifically states, I believe it's health insurance, and then health claims, they both run in tandem. The way our health insurance is set up with the town, we have a policy, and we are also self-insured at 30% of the policy. So the health claims portion is that 30% of how the town is funded as it relates to the self-insurance on health insurance.
Who administers your health insurance?
That depends on the carrier. Okay, the current year is United Healthcare.
Okay. All right. I just wondered what that was.
Okay, and I'll go a step further on that health, the health insurance line. That's money that is spent based off what a person elects.
Yeah.
The health claims line, that may or may not be spent, and if you do a sum total of all those departments and all those figures for health claims, the last 4 years we've run approximately 70% of that money. Okay, so all 100%, knock on wood, has not been spent.
What happens to the money that has not been spent?
That stays right here. It stays right here.
It stays here?
That's right.
And then you figure again the next year based on the previous year's claims?
The last 5 years. I try to take a five-year average.
Last 5 years? Okay.
Yes.
So that means that over 5 years, you said that 30%, that you only use 70%.
Correct.
Right? So you have it going up, though, every year rather than...
That's correct.
So did this go down 30% from the previous year?
No,
and
ma'am.
And then budget it up from there?
Each year is a new plan year.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you start with a clean slate. Those numbers can go up, they can go down. It depends what leverage you get with the main policy. So this year for FY20 that we're going to start in July, those numbers actually went down for the new plan year. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Sollinger and Drive. I just have a question for Councilman Purnell.
Mm-hmm.
At the budget work session, you alluded at least two times to future costs that you feel like you're going to need some monies to fix things. You kind of mentioned that a couple of times. Can you please elaborate?
You're going to see roads, water, sewer. Every time a sewer line has a problem, we got nothing in this budget to repair any of that stuff right now.
Okay.
that I'm aware of. We do have some roads money in there to fix some older roads, but basically all that money is coming from the state highway. But things are going to break,
mm-hmm.
and that's... I
didn't know if you sort of anticipated something in particular.
Nothing specific. I just know there's an awful lot of lines that are underground in the town that are going to need some repairs that have not. I mean, I believe we still have got some clay, terracotta, sewer pipe. Pretty old. It's still working, but what's really going on with a lot of that is the infiltration and inflow we're getting because mm-hmm. these cracked pipes and things like that is making the wastewater plant work a lot harder than it has to. Those things should be, and we should be putting some money away for the future for that too. But we haven't. So.
Okay. Thank you. Just another question.
Yeah. Is anyone else? Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay, no problem.
How you doing? I know the budget's probably pretty much set, so I've already reconciled with that fact. But going forward, for future budget purposes, What's in place in the town that gives transparency every time the town wants to make an expenditure for some property or some annexation to the town that the people would see first before the transaction was ever made?
The whole process is public because first, for SA, if there's the purchase, we did every single part of it was public, and if we're talking Berlin Falls Park, then we couldn't even talk at all with Councilmember Purnell. We had to talk with his partners who were the overwhelming investors in that property. So all negotiations, all discussions were them. In terms of any annexations, same thing's true. Everything first has to, first the property potential person who wants to be considered for annexation has to come to the town and our planning department and express what they want to do, what they're planning, all that sort of thing. Then they have to inform myself and town administrator, and then they have to go to the Planning and Zoning Commission. And let's see, the latest annexation that was recommended by the Planning and Zoning Commission started, it took about almost very close to 18 months before it's gotten to where it is. And basically, it has to be something that I think we need to more clearly define, because what we tried to do almost 10 years ago was to have a growth green belt, which would be state the permanent boundaries for the town. And what we're thinking about permanent, it's not like from just 2 years or just 5 years, but we're trying to establish something, and we'll be doing, this is something that comes up in the next fiscal year because it's part of our comprehensive plan. It's not required, but I think we have support from the community to say, yeah, we want to define what is the maximum size of our town for both residential and commercial purposes. And basically there are some people that don't want any growth, and there's other people that say, wait a minute, what about my friends, my relatives, my children? So we want to find something that would serve this town for the rest of the century. And then when that is done, and it will be, you know, a legal document, not just at the town level, but the county, the state, and so forth, that 100 years now, then they can decide if they want to continue that. But it would be a green boundary where no building at all was allowed. Certainly can have trails and, walk and maybe have a little area for a pocket park to sit and things, but nothing that we all traditionally consider development. That would be the area that is immediately contiguous to what is the agricultural land around us. And then the one area where we have, clearly that decision was made decades ago, is Route 50. Route 50 is going to continue to develop between Berlin and West Ocean City, and there's not anything anyone can do about it. So, you know, other than Route 50, we have at least the other 85-90% that we can have influence on. And that's the best I can explain that, but I'll be glad to try to explain more. And again, this is all in public meetings. It was interesting when this was brought up years ago, we had the only people that showed up, generally speaking, were the property owners and developers. But I'm hoping this time there'll be a good crowd of people to be able to hear what's going on. It's not a one and done. It will take probably, months to go through that process.
Well, I was thinking more in terms, I'm not against annexation or anything like that, but when you think about those sort of things, about purchasing real property or whatever to annex, it would be certainly nice if it was more transparent. So the people, I mean, transparency in the fact that maybe there could be newspaper stories on it or whatever. And before any annexation can take place, the budget has to be able to support it, obviously. But the people who live in the town are the ones that are going to be a part of that tax base, and they're going to be in the whole group as a whole paying for this sort of stuff. So we would like to know ahead of time at least before each budget, because you're going to do this from year to year and so on and so forth, and you got to look out for the liveliness of the town. You just can't stay stagnant. I understand that. But to let people know ahead of time that we're thinking about spending this kind of money for this project, et cetera, and give us all the facts about what it's going to cost us and let us have a say-so on whether it's feasible or not. That's all I'm concerned about. That's all I have to say.
Quick question. Just so I make sure I understand you. You want to make sure that we let you know before we buy a piece of property annexed to put it out there and let the folks know?
Yes, exactly right. One of the things, yes.
We don't buy property to annex.
Okay, but you buy the costs associated with that.
No, somebody like a developer like Troy, he buys the property. He's got to pay for everything, infrastructure and all. We don't pay for any of that.
Okay, but when you annex people into town, there are certain infrastructure costs that go along with that.
And who pays that, Troy?
Yeah, but not futuristic. Those are just one-time costs in the beginning. We're talking about futuristic.
But you're talking about the sewer, ongoing monthly.
Yeah, that's
rate.
Right.
Ongoing
maintenance.
Yeah. And that's where the sewer and water rate, all the water utility right. rates have to be high enough to make sure we're not subsidizing anybody.
Right, that's
and,
right.
And where the fatal flaw, and again, it's been explained, and we'll keep explaining it, when the sewer plant, which had to be upgraded, I mean, it was in bad shape. We were literally could not grow at all. Is when that was expanded, the engineering and consulting firm, not the one we use on a day-to-day basis, came in and said, "You have so much pent-up demand because you haven't been able to grow for many years that the fees, the EDU fees." Will cover the cost of the debt of doing that. That's what we were told.
Okay,
that's about, and it worked for a while because there was. And then we had a bad year, then we had a not such a bad year, and then suddenly in the last 3 years, it's like, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on here? So the irony is, I'll give you an example. If Oceans East had not been approved for annexation, we would have been in a much deeper hole much quicker because what's happening is that new annexation or new development actually has been bringing in income, not costing current taxpayers. Now, what's happened is that we have learned that most towns, when you add to your water plant, your sewer treatment, that when new fees are established, then it's not just the EDUs, you also have to raise your sewer fees. So now that's what we're having to do because you can't depend on just growth to handle it all. And I know that is basically the catalyst for all this budget turmoil is that without that we wouldn't even be having this discussion. So I just want to be clear we've been taking And again, this is, I guess, everyone's judgment. But we've had people say to us, why do we have a police department? It's such a safe town. Can't you save all that money? Well, there is a correlation. And in my opinion, everybody has, the fact that our police department for many years, and they had to start on a pretty rough climb, was they promote what we call community policing, where they have to get the confidence of the citizens and the business owners and the property owners to tell them, you've heard the expression, if you see something, say something. It used to not be that way. There were certain neighborhoods in this town where it was just not safe. There were some open drug markets. Well, all of that has gone away, and quite frankly, you can ask Reggie Mason because he's retired, he's the sheriff for many years, what is the safest town or municipality in Worcester County? And he will say the town of Berlin, not because he owes us anything. But it's because of this relationship we have with the police department. But to say the town is safe and we don't need one, or we don't need a police facility, here's another factor I want everybody to keep in mind. What our greatest threat is still natural disasters. Thank God it's not terrorism or other things. But natural disasters look like they are going to be more severe and more occurring more often in the years to come than they have been. There was no place, there had been no place where all the law enforcement folks could come and gather and work together and operate. They can out of the new police department. That can be adapted in a very short time so that officers 24/7 from a variety of agencies, sheriff's department, state police, they have a headquarters here, but where's the space for other agencies and other supporting agencies? That can be done in our town of Berlin, and it's high enough up that if there is a major climate change event such as a tidal rise coming from a storm, that we're in a good place for that. That won't help yet every single property owner until we finish the stormwater work. And that, you know, when we originally got into that, we were told it'll take, you know, $3 million, maybe $3.5 million. Well, we spent $3 million, and now we found that we have to spend another $7 million. But the other choice is just let the town wash away, household to household, and people to keep suffering from that. And so I regret the fact that almost every challenge we have is big numbers. And I appreciate the idea that, you know, there's cutting small things might help, but quite frankly, the challenges that we face, we need numbers that have 5 or 6 zeros behind them to make an impact to be able to adjust to the challenges that are here. And that's unfortunate, but that's the reality that we're all facing. But, you know, if someone has ideas, fine, but not doing anything is not an option.
Right. I'm not against having a police department or any other things you got going. All I'm caring about is a better transparency, a better set of rules to see how we go about these things, yeah. And making sure that we can afford it. That's all, with a cost-effective scenario about yay or nay. That's all. That's all I want.
Okay. Yeah, I think right now, Dave, there's two annexations that were being considered, and I think there's one on the corner of 818 and Route 50 that's being considered for the future. It's been in front of the Planning Commission already for preliminary, and I believe Mr. Girardi did something way out of town, but I don't think he's planning on doing it anymore. They're the two that I'm aware of right now.
Yeah,
okay.
And I think
they've
probably
been in front of the Planning Commission already.
And I would think it might be helpful if you just put a little note in the paper or something, some of the local tabloids, to let us know that you're planning on doing this thing, because not everybody comes to these meetings. Not everybody goes online.
And this is we hope to encourage all these meetings are on our website. They're in the local newspapers. In some cases, the people have to apply weeks ahead, so there's the time for advertising. And that has been done going back to at least the early 70s. So, part of the thing is we want people to know, and
right.
We're trying to put more information out there. Quite frankly, it's not entertaining, but no. We encourage people to read it,
right.
and everything goes on the website, regardless of reading a newspaper or not.
Well, I do agree that the town has to grow, and if it doesn't, it's going to get stuck. Just simple as that.
Well, we appreciate your interest, and please, you know, volunteer any thoughts you have at any time, not just tonight.
Okay.
And that goes for everyone else. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Just real quick question. I know we're going through some development in the town and so forth. It's obvious we've been through it over the year. Last year we had a very low year with EDUs. Do we, and I know there's some proposed larger developments that are going on. Do we have any idea how many EDUs we may be generating on this coming fiscal year, which the more EDUs we have, the better that takes care of some of that funding, if I'm correct. If anybody can answer that question, I'd be...
Natalie, do you remember what the number is?
They're actually on details.
Yeah, very close, please.
They're in details of the budget. The report that's been posted on the website have notes under sewer and water revenues, and you can see the details, but I can read them out
can
loud.
You put, can you, and can you point out the page number?
Sure,
for folks? Because that would make it much easier for people to see now or check back when they go to the website.
43. Okay. So page 37 is water fund.
And the way the EDU is structured, just to remind, it gets split between water and sewer. So the description and the numbers you see on the water fund, you will see the same descriptions and the numbers on the sewer fund.
And so what are those?
I'm not going to go over the two funds. The first fund, it's page 37, water. So from discussion of the department, water and sewer departments, and projections, we have estimated three EDUs will be collected at 305 Washington Street. Atlantic Orthopedics will be probably buying four. De Novo's four. IG Burton Jeep, eight. Main Place, three buildings, five. Old Ocean City Barbecue Place, three. And then the estimated is other residential, six. And Route 818 and Route 50 is five.
So what's the total there altogether, if you can just take a second?
38.
I believe it's 38? Okay, you added up. Thank you. 38 total.
And the total that we need just to take care of the sewer debt is?
52.
Okay. Okay, and we are in fine shape until we reach 80% of the capacity of the wastewater treatment plant. And that time, when everything doesn't get shut down, that's when we have to begin the process of planning and engineering for the expansion, which this was the first time it had ever been done in this town. When that plant was upgraded, we made sure that it was already built for the next phase of expansion. We didn't have to start at scratch. It's got all the connections. It's got, you know, the capacity. What needs to be added is just an expansion of the current plant, but we don't have to literally start from scratch like we did the last time. But that, at this rate, we're talking, I don't know, many years, because we can't predict exactly how fast development will happen. It tends to go up, and then it goes down, and then shoots up again, and then it goes back down. I think that's just a natural business cycle, not only here, but most anywhere in a capitalistic system.
The biggest thing I see is that we can't depend on those. We have to depend on the operations by who's existing already on there. That is going to be used to help subsidize to pay the debt service. And if we don't hit 52, we're upside down. So it's got to be restructured.
And that will be done, the review of all the sewer, all the race, all the water utility rates. I committed to getting a updated study by a different firm who has a great track record, and then that to be done in the new fiscal year, not late in the fiscal year, but as soon as it's practical to do it and meet all the advertising requirements and all the other requirements that we have to do for something like that. Okay, does anyone else wish to? I can't see you, but yes. Yeah, please.
Excuse me, I just yell in the back, but this time I thought. Cam Bunning, 201 Ann Drive, 301 William Street, 306 William Street, 608. You get the picture.
Yeah.
It's costing us about $2,700, just the tax increase. That's neither here nor there. Actually, what I... talking about that page 37, are the water and sewer fees, the water is going up 5% and the sewer going up 25%. Is that in figured in that 630,000 number?
In other words, all the budget figures that are being presented tonight includes all that. It includes all the adjustments.
So I guess my next question, I know... the majority, one of the meetings, because I've been to all the meetings, is 32% is between 0 and 4,000 gallons. So from my calculations, right now, if you have under 2,000 gallons, you're paying with the stormwater $4.16 and the $5 bay restoration fee, you're paying $73.68. Now, in the proposed year one, is that going to stay the same for that rate? Because that was based on a, I'm not sure what that, what 0 to 2,000, what that rate's going to end up being.
Okay. When it comes to the breakout.
We're discussing the water and sewer rates with the presentation, I believe, in the next meeting. I don't have the charts in front of me right now. We do. Kelsey, can you pull it up?
PowerPoint from the April 29th work session, the last slide.
But if you're referring to the fees of a stormwater bay restoration, those will remain the same.
Are you asking about water and sewer fees?
No. Water and sewer. Water and sewer fees.
Not stormwater or bay restoration.
So we're waiting for an updated slide from DBF to reflect the 25% increase. But if you look at this slide up here,
That's what I have here.
You'll see a 5% increase in water, a 20% increase in sewer. So these numbers are going to be a little bit low on the sewer side. But this is what we talked about last time.
Okay.
We are planning to bring the approval of these rates, the water and sewer rates, to Mayor and Council for their approval at the next council meeting, which is the 28th of May. So we don't have an updated slide for discussion purposes for tonight. You have to use this one.
Okay. Well, my calculations, I guess the one question, too, is what happens. Oh, you changed it. Okay. Yeah, because the what I have, the old slide had from 0 to 2,000, it didn't. I was going to ask what's happened between 2,000 and 3,000.
Yeah,
okay.
So it is in the code that way because the meters only measure thousands of gallons. Mm-hmm. So it's going to sound kind of confusing. I think it's hard to follow. But that is the way that the meters measure. So for the presentation on the 28th and going forward, we're going to be asking them to change them, the council, approve the change in the code to be able to show that it's from 0 to 2,099 and then from 3 to 599 and then 6 to 799. To get at that question, because the way the code is currently written, there's like this big gap and it's hard to understand.
All right, now this is also just on a 20%. So on a 25%, my calculations, what people are spending, the majority, I guess at 3,000 to 4,000, we're paying 79 with the stormwater and the bay. It's going to go up to $93.09. And then the if you go between up to 6,000 gallons, it's going to be $101.86 a month for water and sewer. So I just want to make sure you realize how that's going to impact everybody, too.
Understood.
Okay. Yep. Anybody have any questions of me?
Again, the request for them to take on the
6,000, that's a lot.
Okay. But yet the number is in here.
It is. And tonight for the budget, it's an introduction of the budget. It's not budget adoption.
Right.
So it's the plan in its infancy, and the public hearing of the budget will be
because that's way higher than a lot of the other places.
And then we also add, we're not increasing the stormwater utility fees, and we're not changing the bay restoration fee. In fact, I believe that's set by the state.
Right, but the bay is, but the stormwater is still out there. You just decided not to do it right now.
We just decided not to increase it.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
And that is a judgment, because we do understand it's what a judgment. Again, each person, each family, each business has to decide. Because we made a commitment to the community that we would not be one of many communities that doesn't meet the environmental standards that have been adopted. Nobody can go around and force communities to do it. You just have to decide, do you want to be a community that is leaving no bad footprint on the local environment? Here we have an absolute commitment. None of our wastewater that is treated goes into any coastal bays or any of the tributaries or any of that. We would never go back, but there are many places on the Eastern Shore where that's still done. And again, that's it's not just a financial decision, it's a moral decision. And that's something each and every individual in the town has to decide, rather these higher costs are worth it or not.
and I can't speak for anyone else but myself, and I know where I've made the decisions over and over again that if there's a way to do it, then we have a responsibility to minimize or eliminate our environmental impact that would be negative to our local environment, because it's the only one we got. So, but I just want you to understand the reasoning there. It's not because we don't care. It's a judgment decision. Does anyone else wish to address this? Yes, sir.
I had a question about the reserves. I understand that the reserves have been falling because of the amount of money that's coming out of the expenses due to the sewer and water losses. There was an article, or there was a letter to the editor in the Dispatch of somebody who was a former town administrator, and according to what he claims, the typical municipality has 10 to 25% of their yearly expenses in reserves. So anywhere up to 3 months. I think the last I read, the town has 4 months.
Yes.
So with this 18% increase, is the goal to increase those reserves above 4 months?
Well, but the increase in the sewer rates will allow for those reserves to be replenished. And one of the decisions that won't be made like this week, the next couple weeks, but in early, maybe, you know, right after we get the budget squared away, but early in the new fiscal year, is what level of reserves should we have? And again, this is something where historically, going back to when I was a very little kid, and I'm 70, this town had unbelievable reserves, years of reserves, not months, years. And that was the philosophy, and that was what the town insisted upon, not just the mayor and council, the town. It was just, hey, they were children of the Depression. I understand that. Mm-hmm. So now, from what I've been trying to get informed, I think we're all trying to get informed about these things, is about what is the proper level. There's no one level for everyone, but the Government Finance Officers Association says the minimum should be equivalent of 2 months of operating expenses. So that's the minimum. We haven't done a formal vote, but anything we do about this will be discussed right here, is I don't think any of us are going to feel comfortable with 2 months. At the same time, in my opinion, speaking just for myself, I think it's maybe overkill to have a year. So somewhere in there, and it's not just a matter of, throwing a dart at the dartboard. Somewhere in there, you have to decide what are the vulnerabilities, the risk that we may be up against if there is, a catastrophic event, which in our case we believe is severe weather. That seems to have the most impact on us, the greatest way for all of our utilities, and you can't say, well, we'll get around to fixing it when we have the money. You got to fix it the next day. And in some cases, we're able to get things done in a matter of hours. But it's very expensive. So I think that is a policy that I know I will encourage. I think the council will be very open to it, to establishing a policy. And then it can be reviewed budget year or every couple years can review it. Is this working? Is this the proper amount? And obviously, as our obligations that we owe on now go down, maybe there won't be as much of a need. But at the same time, it's like you have to have some savings account. So what is the proper level of savings for a community that has the standards and the expectations that this community has? And I'm talking about the people of the community. And that's part of it, because some of these other communities, they're fine people, but what they expect from the community is a fraction of what they expect of us, the people who will follow us, and the people who preceded us. And I'm not going to criticize anybody for that. Expectations are something that it's kind of, and again, I've used this expression, a community, this town is like an extended family. And you sit around the table, this is our kitchen table, and you talk and maybe fuss and fight a little bit. And sometimes you get a chuckle, but basically you have to make family decisions. But once the decision is made, then it might have to be re-examined a little farther down the road. And I have to say, public safety is something that has become, we've been talking utilities, public safety, the costs are much higher than they used to be. But in my opinion, just speaking for myself, I fear if you're not safe, nothing else we do matters. Okay? And those costs are going up, and they're not coming down. If anything, I hope that, because it's not totally within our control, that somehow the higher cost of public safety, that's police, fire, emergency medical services, will maybe start to decrease in the percentage that's going up. But we can't just throw up our hands up and say, well, we're going to lower the standard of what people expect, and we're going to provide a lower level of safety to your property and your lives. To me, that's not an option. And it's not just a local problem, but I think the infrastructure, there again, we have to decide. Temporarily, we're putting all the infrastructure improvements on hold, but we can't do it indefinitely. So we have, as this is, it's part of the thing, we have to have a community conversation. What kind of community you want? What kind of quality of life you want? What kind of response time do you want when things happen? Because any of us who's lived for any time at all knows in life, things happen. And often, too often, there are things that are not good. And I would say this. I think we're all committed to doing whatever the right thing is, but it's a judgmental. These are many times not something you just sit down with a calculator or a computer formula and goes, bingo, there's the answer. Much of the decisions we make and much of the decisions that impact the budget are what kind of community do we want to be, what kind of community are we, and what do we need to continue to do to meet the expectations of the overwhelming majority of people in this community. And that's the best way I know how to explain it, but I understand it quite.
I guess my point is that what you're saying is that with the increases in the water and sewer, it will stop the bleeding from the general fund.
Yes, sir.
So then you have to say, well, how much reserves do we want in the general fund?
That's
correct. We have 4 months. So an 18% tax increase, is that going to increase the reserves? Is it going to keep the reserves where they are? Or are the reserves going to, that's what I'm saying. You're proposing an 18% increase. Are we now going to increase the reserves again?
Yeah, the reserves will come back. They won't continue to go down.
Okay, well, see, that's what I'm saying is that according to this, I didn't research it, but he says that the typical municipality has 10 to 25% in reserves. So we already have 4 months, which is, 33%? And then we're going to increase taxes.
Percentages
and
months are not quite the same thing.
If we increase the taxes 18%, the intent is to increase the reserves. What's going to happen when the reserves get back up to, say they get back to a year? Are we going to cut taxes at that point? What are we going to do with the additional money?
And this is how reserves have been used for as long as we've had them, at least for the last century, but they just weren't used. Is that when these major projects come along, and I'll give you an example, the police station was one of them. It needed to be replaced critically, and this is how reserves are used, not just in Berlin, but everywhere. Then you make that investment, and then you build them back up. But if you don't have reserves, you never can take care of major projects. And, it's kind of like if you're going to have to replace, I'll use at home a bathroom, you're going to have to replace everything, including the pipes underneath, you generally have to either borrow the money or save the money. And that's the same as a town. So the idea of the reserves is not for them to sit there and just sit around. It's to use them, but where is the point? And this is all, again, compared. We almost have to forget whatever we knew in the 20th century because circumstances have changed so much. I think it's got everyone, not just here, everyone a little off balance. And we will adapt. I think we will as a town, this country will, the state will all adapt to this, and we'll find the answers. But I don't think there's any one place you can just go and plug in a question and the answer instantly appears. I think we work our way through it. So I think we will. I am sure, because it's one of the things I will mention it again before the reading of the first reading of the budget. But I think having a policy and explaining what that policy is and how we reached it is one of the first items of our new fiscal year, and not to be done in later in the year, but very early, so that, you know, and then it can be reviewed. I mean, you know, it's not like it's there, not like it's in stone, but you have to have some foundational basis for the financial structure of the community. And that, I mean, the implication that we don't care, we have not cared, it's like, again, do we fix things? Do we, the streets? Okay. I think we've honestly tried to respond to the critical needs. And most of the infrastructure, you know, we either have brand new infrastructure or extremely old infrastructure. And over time, all of that old infrastructure has to be replaced. It can't be done in any one fiscal year or any one decade. But we can't wait till 2050 either. It will literally collapse. So, you know, just to give you an idea of perspective.
May I add one thing?
Sure.
And Natalie, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there's a difference, at least an area where I found some confusion. When you think about reserves, I thought of a place where you could go and tap into some money in the event of an emergency. But it turns out that we have something called expendable reserves, which is actually that allotment where we can dip in the event of an emergency. And I believe that that number is substantially less than 2 months of operating. So we're at what I would deem somewhat of a critical level there.
So what are the, okay, so if you say there's difference between expendable reserves and whatever, I mean, what's the terminology for the other reserves?
Non-spendable.
Non-expendable. So, what are they for? What do we do with them? If you can't spend it, what?
I'll have to defer that question to Natalie. But expendable reserves are the area where I think we need to improve.
Yeah, because there's money that we can't touch. Can you explain in a general way, you know, for everyone to understand why there's money that we can't touch? Because I think it's all related to cash flow, but. Maybe
right. There's certain funds that we earmarked for certain projects, non-spendable reserves. We have money set aside for a specific project. For example, impact fees cannot be spent on day-to-day operations.
Could you lower the mic just a little bit? Just lower it. There you go.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is it better?
Yes. Better. Thank you.
And so spendable reserve, what Council Tindall refers to, is it a bit better or not better situation or bigger risks per se. So the spendable reserve is what we will be talking and discussing in the future. Overall, the policy will cover the reserves in total, how much we should have. But the spendable reserves is what we will focus and decide on.
Yeah, and I may ask you this. It's in terms of the non-spendable reserves, is that based on a percentage or is it based on various circumstances
it's,
the town faces
it's
at
applicable
any one time?
To us on certain certain earmarked situation that we have. It's not a percent.
So if there's projects that we've committed to and we have to pay off,
correct.
Then that's earmarked
right.
For that purpose. Okay. Right. Thank you.
All right. I guess another question I had, I mean, there was a lot of talk at the meeting at the high school about the Berlin Falls Park. Did we spend money out of the reserves to purchase that? Or?
No. We basically borrowed money and paying that off over time. And one of the things that come out of this, and I want to thank everyone for their suggestions. Again, we're going to get the budget squared away, but one of the things I think a very good suggestion is to look at the future of Berlin Falls Park, not as just one thing, but probably, in my opinion again, because we even haven't had a chance to discuss it yet, but maybe as three potential possibilities. The natural part of that park, and for people who appreciate it, it's excellent, right? It's got some trails that could be added and some things, but we're not talking big bucks. But the then you've got the former plant, the building itself, and then you've got the rest of the property, which is probably another 25 acres or so. To me, the plant building, we should reach out in a business-like way to see if there's ways to turn that either through lease or sale into a revenue-producing operation through private enterprise. The open space that's left there that also can be used for parking and transportation and larger events that would be we can't even consider downtown. That, again, a private enterprise would put on and do, but then we would receive a guaranteed, I'll call it rental revenue, and it wouldn't be just once a year, be from time to time, there'd be a variety of things to be done. I think that looking at it as three different entities, one, a pure park in the traditional sense, which is not expensive to either operate or maintain, the building, which I think, again, we'll find out what the market says. The market will dictate, but I think that's something I'm going to recommend once we get through the budget. And again, early to have us look at. I also obviously want to talk, and get ideas from our Berlin Falls Park Advisory Committee. They were handed a tremendous challenge, and they've done a very good job. And what they did, they tried to do the things they could within the means they have. But now we're going to say, okay, look, here. Do you all have what suggestion you have? Because they've been working on this for almost a year and a half. It's been a year and a half now. Yeah, and I just want to say, a lot of things can be up for discussion, and some of the ideas we've heard, we think that's a good idea, but we obviously have to research it. We have to find out what the market will demand, and also get advice from this advisory group, which is invested. Tons
so you said there's three sections, the natural section with the trails, the building. The third section is 25 acres. Is that something that could be developed?
Well, again, it's what should be done with it. Yeah, it possibly could be developed. And again, there's the option. Is it something that is developed with us forming some sort of, economic, I can't think of the things. Development corporation that's in with the town, or should because obviously, historically, we want to stay away from the things that property was because we had no control over it whatsoever forever, but it was a detriment to the town since 1941, and a serious one. So I know that it's temporarily taking on a big gulp, but ultimately the goal is to turn something that was a horrible liability into a very good asset. And quite frankly, it's something of that magnitude for a small town. I don't think it's going to happen overnight, but I think we've reached the point, based on the public input we've gotten, which we found very helpful, that, okay, let's accelerate that. Let's explore that. And I don't see any reason why we can't.
Okay, well, thank you for your time.
And thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
So anyone else wish to make any comments? Yes, sir.
I have a question based on his comment. It was something that you said. I'm just confused as to. Sorry, I'll come to the microphone.
Yeah, no problem.
Just a question based on what he said, because I was a little confused. When you were talking about the reserve fund, and I know there's a difference between expendable versus non-expendable reserve fund, but in one point you said that the reserve fund is basically cash that we can use to do things like build the police station, and then in the other instance you said the reserve fund is there in case of an emergency.
Yeah, both.
Which is it?
Both. Both.
Both.
Both. Because if we never had a reserve fund, we'd never be able to do any major capital projects.
So what's the point in having a four-month reserve fund if you use it, if you don't save it for an emergency and instead you use it to build the police station?
What we're saying then, the minimum would be what we would have to have for emergencies, and again, we call it risk. What risk does this town have that maybe another town that's in the middle, of a very flat, not vulnerable to major storms?
I understand that. We're just talking about Berlin. That's fine.
Yeah. So basically, if we figure out what we have to have for emergencies, for the worst case scenarios, Then we figure out what is the balance we need that we should build up so that we can make the capital investments that are part of our obligation.
So then that amount would be put into the expendable reserve fund?
And yes, then, correct.
And then the non-expendable stuff is basically this extra money that doesn't get spent every year, gets stuck in sort of a carryover fund, if you will.
That's one way of explaining it. Yes.
Okay, all right.
Yes, that's it.
All right,
thank you. No, I appreciate it. Okay, I put this way. Is anybody, unless somebody else has something to say, we want to go ahead and continue with the agenda. Does anybody have anything they wish to share? Okay. Now we're going to close the public hearing and move on to our next.
You need to actually take action on setting a tax rate.
Okay, yeah. So that is item 3A on our agenda, so everybody's following along. And it's tonight is not the passage of the budget, but it is when we have to set a tax rate so that in this case, just so everyone knows, tax rate that's being proposed matches up with the greater reductions that have been made since the initial budget that was proposed weeks ago. So we're talking, you know, after this budget that
I'm sorry,
you see.
One more thing before we go. Do better.
We're all for that. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Yes. So anyway, we have to basically make sure that the budget that's being proposed can be supported by the tax rate and that we don't pass a budget, and then we have another dilemma before we've even gotten started. So at this point, And just so everybody knows, what is being considered is came out of our last work session, where not everyone but a majority of the council at that work session said that a compromise instead of 88 cents, we started out 34% back in February, that we could basically make the budget work and tighten up things by cutting out $2.5 million and holding off capital expenditures for a year, not indefinitely, that could be done at an 80-cent rate compared to the 68 cents per hundred that we currently have. So that's what's being considered tonight, and at this point it's into the council's hands, who basically have to vote and comment, and I encourage anybody who wants to say anything to certainly share whatever your thoughts are.
Well, you want to go first? We had in-depth discussion on this rate at our last meeting, and I don't have further questions.
I agree with what Dean just said. We've discussed this, and we settled on this rate, so I'm ready to vote on it.
It's not easy sitting up here and looking at all of you trying to make a decision like this. It's, hang on, you've had 4 months. I'm asking for 3 minutes. That's it. We've been attacked. We've been ridiculed. We've been accused of all kinds of things. I've been sitting up here. This is my fifth budget I've sat on. I got to tell you, this is the hardest one I've ever had to sit through. I don't mind speaking with anybody that's got questions, and I've done a lot of it. I've visited four homes just in my own personal neighborhood, spent on an average of 3 hours. I see a couple in here that I spent 4 hours at their home, and there's been other homes I've gone to because they've asked the questions. They've wanted to know. They want to know how it impacts it. It's very, very difficult to look some of these folks in the eye and say, yeah, unfortunately, these costs have increased. It's not like this money's been wasted on junkets, on trips, or anything like that. It's extremely difficult to make these decisions. And when we tasked our own department heads and said, you've got to come back and you've got to cut your own budgets as well because we've got to make this thing work. When this first came out and they were proposing 35, 40% of an increase, there was no way in this world that I was going to vote for something like that. And it's still difficult to sit up here and make that type of decision. But where do you draw the line? When do you say we're not going to do this, or we're not going to repair your road, or we're not going to do something. Look, this is all new to me as well over the last 4 years, 4.5 years, because when you guys come to us and you say, I want my street repaired, we're on a list. We have to have this street done. And, of course, some of you have grown up here. I did not. I've only had my home in this town for 13 years, my business going on 35 years. But when you open up one of these streets, you have no idea what's underneath. And there's these old terracotta pipes, these old clay pipes back from the 30s and 40s. That needs to be replaced, too. You just can't tar down on top of something. So now this $50,000 project's turned into $250,000. But you guys are going to want those things done. We just can't not do it. We have to do something. And again, it's not an easy decision. It's really, really not an easy decision. I can't thank those folks that have come in here and have asked the hard questions of all of us and have taken the time to sit down and want to talk to us, either as a group or individually. We really appreciate your input. But I want you guys to understand, we live in this town as well. Somebody queried me today at my office, and they said, well, some of the council members don't even live in town. That's incorrect. Everybody sitting up here lives in the corporate limits. We all pay taxes as well. And just like Cam Bunning, I'm looking at about a $3,000 increase on all my properties. I don't want to pay it either. Believe me, I don't. But what do we do? What do you guys want done? What don't you want fixed? It's hard. It really is hard. Some of the streets where we live, where Steve lives, all those roads are new. Don, those are all new. But there's other roads in here that haven't been touched in, good Lord, 70 years. So where do you guys want us to draw the line? That's just what I find difficult. It's not that we all sit up here, we're not omniscient, we don't part waters, we don't have all the answers. We encourage the input. But to sit up here some nights for 3 or 4 hours and have people screaming at you, to be threatened on the street, that's just uncalled for. I mean, I really thought I had a close circle of friends with some of these folks that have been in town a long time. And it was amazing to me what was said to me and what we were accused of. To sit here and accuse one of the council members of making backroom deals on a piece of property, I find that insulting, because his properties are listed. Keep in mind, he was a minor partner. But his property is out there online, just like all of yours, for anyone to look up what he bought it for, what he paid for it, and what he sold it for. And I can tell you right now, he did not walk away with any money. And I guarantee you, because I was in those meetings, every single time the word Berlin Falls Park came up or Tyson property came up, the first thing Councilmember Pinnell did was get up and walk out of the room. He not only walked out of that room in there, he walked out of this room and he left the building. It's insulting, guys. We live here too. We do. We have to feel the same pain that you do. So believe me, I am open for any other suggestions going from this day forward. But for the love of God, just give us a little respect too. We are not trying to shortchange you. We are not trying to put you out of your homes. But if you guys have a great idea, by God, we want to hear it. We really do want to hear it.
Okay. We need to...
Thanks.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
If there are no more questions, I'd like to move to approve Ordinance 2019-03, setting the tax rate for the upcoming year at 80 cents per hundred.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to adopt a property tax rate for the new fiscal year, FY20, at 80 cents per $100 of assessed value of real property. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Opposed.
Okay. They let the record show that the vote was 4-1. Okay. All right. Next is the an ordinance 2019-01, which establishes business license and late penalties for the non-payment of business licenses. And again, this is something we've been reluctant to do for a long time. Unfortunately, and I don't attribute the problems we've had in getting these business licenses paid, I don't attribute it to any
ill intent or somebody trying to get away with something. I quite frankly think that in the scheme of things, with all the other responsibilities businesses have, they just kind of like, I'll get around to that. I'll get around to it. And quite frankly, the numbers got unbelievable. What are we down to now? After getting many people paid and since this has come up, what are we down to now about?
We have 14 unpaid business licenses right now.
That's about roughly half of what we had when we started having this discussion, something like that?
Roughly, let me look just for a second.
Roughly, I mean. That's,
yeah, it's about half.
Yeah,
so
that's about half.
6%?
So most folks, again, see, half the folks, as soon as they realize, wait a minute, I haven't paid my license, they did. So I do think this is one of those things where every now and then you kind of have to make some noise for people realize, yes, we want to be very supportive of everyone in this community, including the business community, but everybody has to chip in. And so I just want to bring that up as why this is being considered. Is there any discussion or questions or anything regarding this?
I do. Are you opening up for public hearing?
Yes. But we'll start the public hearing first. Yes. Thank you. Yes. Now we have the public hearing on the business licenses. Yes.
I'm making a habit of this.
That's okay. There's no problem. Most of all.
So I have a couple of questions and then maybe a comment depending on the answers. What is the, I was just reading the charter, and my understanding is part of the reasoning for this is that it's a nuisance. Is that correct? That was your reasoning in your documentation was that it's a nuisance for town employees to have to continually call people to get them to pay for their license. Is
actually
that
my statement in the staff report has been that it's not an effective use of town resources to have employees continually call and send invoices to businesses that are not paying. The challenge we have in the current code is it's not set, in my opinion, at the right rate to motivate folks to pay. I would agree with the mayor's assessment that most businesses, and our records show that, most businesses renew their business license without any issue. But we do have some folks that are still unlicensed, and in terms of looking at the code, it does not provide for very strong late penalties, nor does it have any teeth in terms of compliance. And so I had a conversation with the town attorney along those lines, and it was his suggestion that we cite it as a misdemeanor. And so the other enforcement component of this would be, in addition to the late penalties, failure to have a business license would become a misdemeanor. The way that we would handle that is we would have the code enforcement officer, who happens to be the planning director, cite the business for non-payment of business license. But that would be at the end of a series of attempts to get them to pay.
But the change in the code is specifically related to late payments on a business license, not having a business license.
There's actually several sections that were changing.
But the code that's been listed, isn't it only about not payment of a business license?
No, I don't believe so.
Can you address that?
That's my question is, if you operate a business in town without a business license, you are technically in violation of the town charter, right? And the town charter currently has no teeth in that. Is that correct?
It's not the charter, it's our town ordinance.
The town ordinance. So does the town ordinance specifically say that you cannot operate a business in town without a license? So if a person does not have a license, meaning they do not pay their license fee as of July 1st, mm-hmm. technically they are in violation of the town code. Is that correct? Okay. So why is the town code for business licenses not changed as opposed to changing the license payment? Is there an enforcement for business license payment for late payment? I'm talking about a business license itself. Specifically, if you do not have a business license and you're operating a business in town, then you're in violation of the town charter.
It says that in here now. It's not a charter. It's a code change.
The provision or whatever, the ordinance, whatever. That's what I'm trying to clarify.
Well, if you're late, you obviously don't have a business.
That's correct. That's what I'm saying. Yes. It's the same thing, and so that's what I'm trying to clarify. So according to the code, according to the ordinance in the town code, if you do not have a business license, you are in violation of town code.
Yes.
What is the penalty for that?
There wasn't.
Currently. Is there one currently? If I open a business tomorrow, if I start selling stuff tomorrow, and I don't have a license,
there's no teeth
what will happen?
Current.
Okay, but that's what I'm trying to get to. So my question is, why are we adding the teeth so late.
Because this town, I know you're a recent resident.
I mean, that's it.
Listen, I appreciate the fact that you're a recent resident. You have no idea what things were like 20 years ago.
I don't care what things were like 20 years ago. I'm not talking about 20 years ago. I'm talking about right now.
In a flash. Things don't change overnight.
I'm not talking about 20 years ago, and that's perfectly fine. All I'm saying is, and my question is simply...
There's no teeth in it because it was not acceptable to the people of this town to put teeth in it. And now we're saying it has to be. There has to be some recourse that people say, hey, blow it off. You don't have to pay your business license.
I'm not...
That's unfair
to me. Dude, I don't know why you're yelling at me, man. I'm trying to ask a question.
Because you're asking why is it the way it is.
It's a simple question. You don't need to get mad at me.
We're going to go down to the graveyard and ask all those people why.
How many people currently are there? 14. I mean, are you going out and yelling at them? I'm just asking a question. It was a simple question, okay?
And my simple answer is it wasn't done because it wasn't acceptable to this community.
The question is not wasn't. The question is what is currently written in the town code for operating a business without a business license.
Nothing.
That's what I wanted to ask.
Why we're addressing this.
Okay, that's fine.
Please know, this is the thing. We're having to redo everything. Nothing. If you had any idea what it was like just 15, 20 years ago, there's nothing. And every time we turn around, there's something else.
Might I recommend, then why don't we just take that book that he's got right there. We'll just tear it up. We'll just start all over if that's what you want. Is that what you're asking? Is that what you're saying?
We'll amend it and fix it.
I don't understand where this is coming from, Mayor Williams. I asked a simple question, and you're yelling at me, and I don't understand.
Because it's so obvious. We do not sit
down. Dude, I'm just asking a question, and you're yelling at me. Can you please stop? Because I don't understand why you're doing that right now. I'm not even arguing that it's not necessary. I was asking a very simple question.
Well, you got a very simple answer.
No, I didn't. I got a very complex answer with what sounds like a stern lecture from my mayor.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm sorry that you felt that way. But I've been coming to meetings here since 1971.
Congratulations.
And not just for fun.
I'm not coming here just for fun either. I got a babysitter and I'm watching my kids. I don't appreciate coming up and asking a simple question. I appreciate Laura giving me a simple answer. I appreciate the attorney giving me a simple answer. I don't appreciate you suddenly giving me some screaming thing. What's up with that?
I didn't think that the intent was, if you listen to the answer that we said,
and I was listening to the answer,
and the reason,
and that was my question,
because it was not something the community would support.
It was
the business community. I'm just telling you, we have to change with the times. This community, the most obscene thing you could say in this community was the word change, not that long ago. And I know you can't appreciate that, and I'm glad we are into this, and we're getting more done. More quickly, and we're doing things people said that'll never happen in Berlin. You can never do this in Berlin. Berlin will never amount to anything. It'll always be a warehouse town. And we have proved all those people wrong over time. But it doesn't mean you can just do one ordinance and fix everything. Why tear up the code when it basically needs to be revised and updated?
The whole thing is old. I mean, you're the one that sat there and told me that the thing is outdated. I mean, I'm not suggesting we need to rewrite the whole thing. I'm asking.
You said throw the whole thing out. That's what happened.
Because that's what you're. That's what you're leading to. You just told me that the whole thing is useless.
No, you're not listening.
All right, look. Let me take a step back. All right, let's just take a step back. So my question really is. Is the ordinance as written for the change about a business license fee, or is it about the business license? That's my question.
These changes increase the late penalties for business licenses.
For existing business licenses.
It also makes it a misdemeanor to not have a business license.
Okay.
And the reason we put that in there is because the code as it's currently written does not have teeth in it.
Yes, so there's no enforcement provision
in
the code
at all. So we have 14 businesses without a license, and they would have been billed or invoiced, roughly a year ago.
Yeah.
So the intent here is to efficiently use town resources, set it up so that there's some pretty steep late penalties. It'll go up to the maximum allowed in the state of Maryland, which is 24%, over about a 90-day period. Currently, I think we're charging, 1.5%.
Are there any other options for the town aside from going to criminal penalties?
I'd ask the town attorney.
I mean, I agree. You should just pay for the license. But my question is, are there mechanisms in the state for the town to forbid someone from operating a business because they don't have a business license in the town of Berlin?
That's a fascinating question. I will tell you that we don't get a lot of communication from the state of Maryland when it comes to business licenses. I made a follow-up call to the state requesting a list of businesses in Berlin that do not have current state licenses, and was told that they were talking to their legal counsel to see if they could give me that answer.
Yeah. We can't get answers from the state that are that simple. And I know I apologize for being upset, because I am.
Obviously.
But the thing is that in the state of Maryland, municipalities are pretty much on their own.
And I understand that.
That is an extreme exception.
I understand
that. There's maybe six states that are like that.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, in Maryland, there's the state and there are the counties. And many, I forget how many counties in the state don't even have municipalities. They won't allow them because they want to run everything. You can imagine how Worcester County would be if Worcester County ran every municipality, every homeowner association, and the town of Ocean City. It just wouldn't work. So they understand we have to have a working relationship. But the state still says, look, you're just a town. We don't have to tell you anything.
Let me just add something? This might help. So originally our plan from the very beginning was to increase the financial penalties and then add some teeth in the misdemeanor. And we were asked by Councilmember Burrell to actually add also the posting and publication of the names of the late payers. Actually, I think that's probably going to be the strongest mechanism that we have in here, so that if the business is late, it's a 5% penalty plus the publication of that business's name, either in the local newspaper or on our website. So I think on balance, we're not going to have the problem we have been having with some businesses in terms of getting their licenses paid on time. Which is really the goal.
Doesn't the state have a list of registered businesses? I mean, I can look it up. It's the state database of registered businesses, right?
We do.
Is that
the STAT website, you're correct.
Is that true?
You can look up all incorporated businesses.
Because in order for a business to operate in the town of Berlin, they would also have to have a state license, so they could... Is that? I mean, if it's not correct, it's fine. I don't really know. I'm asking a question.
They're worried about our problems.
Is that the case, Dave?
There are certain types of businesses that have to have a state license. Not all.
Not all.
No. Okay.
Not all. Okay.
Now, I think Mr. Smith brings up a pretty interesting point. I wonder if the clause on page, let's see where we're at, where we're making the changes, subsection C, where it says town reserves the right to, and then it spells out the or maybe that's, never mind, that's D, failure to obtain or renew a business license, and then it goes on to say will result in a municipal infraction.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that should be moved somewhere to its own category to say operating a business in the town of Berlin without a license will result in X, Y, and Z, and it needs to have a notification process, and then it could possibly move to something like subsection D. But I think having that at the end of a financial repercussion, the end result should be a revocation of that business license.
Do you feel that don't dilutes
it? Yeah. Because my
business license that you don't have.
My point is, if you have somebody that doesn't have a business license, then are you going to start fining them? Are you going
to...
Right, or it could say go back to the top.
June 30th.
Like an algorithm.
And if you have a business license for this year, and on July 1st, when the notice goes out, if you don't have a business license until you've had it.
Yes.
But if you failed to accommodate...
You can't revoke something that doesn't...
Okay, I agree. But if you get to 24%, which is 90 days after, then you can successfully say, hey, look, you're operating without a business license. Go back to the top where it says that will result in a misdemeanor. I don't think it's right to have it down here at the bottom where it's like, if you don't pay, we're going to tap your water bill, and then you're going to result to something where it's municipal infraction.
Well, it says,
it appears to me to be in the same section.
It says in section 8-20,
But it doesn't say what will happen if you do.
If you don't.
Have to read this whole section together.
I think you bring up a valid claim.
Well, thanks. I mean, all I'm saying is it seems weird that you put them. It's basically you're combining people who already have businesses in town with people who don't. If somebody operates a business without having a license, how are you going to? Are you going to start sending them bills every month for being 30 days late on operating a business without even applying for a license? I'm saying that those teeth need to be in that part of the ordinance first, as opposed to being later.
And I would defer to the town attorney because I think it's really a legal question as to where it gets placed in the code.
If somebody doesn't have a license already and they operate a business in town, they're technically violating town code, but there are no teeth. There are currently there are no teeth in it for that enforcement. But that if that passes in a few minutes, then it says that I'll be starting to pay a late penalty as of July 1st for operating a business for the last year without a license. I'll start on July 1st paying a late penalty, but I haven't even applied for a license. I haven't even put in an application for a business license. Mm-hmm. When? After 90 days?
Yeah.
I'm saying put it in right at the beginning. Make it illegal and put teeth in the illegality for operating a business without a license. The rest of it doesn't make any difference. Then what you say is for 30 days you get X percent, 90 days you get X percent, and then after that you no longer have a business license and you're in violation of this code. That's what I'm suggesting. But that's not what that says. I don't think that's what that says. That's my thought, for what it's worth. There you go.
Thank you.
And your apology is accepted.
No, I'm sorry. Okay.
Is there anyone else from the public that wants to speak?
No, I haven't come speak out. Let me do my thing. Back off.
Tom Goulias, 110 Thomas Court. I own a business, Ace Printing and Mailing, at 10026 Old Ocean City Boulevard. Some of this may have been answered already, but I want to make sure that I'm clear. So to failure to renew a license and putting the teeth into it, as the town attorney has asked, is punishable by a misdemeanor in the criminal code, correct? Mm-hmm. All right. And at what point will that be enforced? That's my question.
That's within the discretion of the defendant.
Okay, so that could be the next day, or that could be 6 months. I'm just speaking as a business owner. I'm just curious. Can the mayor and council put something in there so that there is a time frame so that businesses or individuals or scofflaws, I saw in the paper, will be aware at what point? To me, it's a little ambiguous.
Well, we could suggest an amendment in subsection D, which would say failure to obtain or renew a business license within 90 days, as required pursuant to this title, constitutes a municipal infraction.
But wouldn't that mean I can wait 90 days to pay for the initial invoice that you submit?
No, you still would pay your interest.
You're going to get a 24%
okay.
Discharge.
All right, well, I'm just asking because I can hear those questions coming. Well, why can't I just wait till the 90-day period to go ahead and pay?
If a business owner wants to pay 24% okay. interest, they're welcome to wait.
They're entitled to do that.
And have their business published.
Yeah, that is what would happen because the way we've got this structured is once you're late, it's 5% plus publication of the name of your business.
Okay, so, all right, so the mayor and council would entertain the idea of possibly 90 days of enforcing that and making it a misdemeanor? Entertain the idea?
I'm somewhat confused.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so July 1st, a bill is due. I'm due $75 to the town. July 2nd, I say, the hell with you, I'm not paying it.
Right.
Are you going to show up and charge me with a misdemeanor on July 2nd? Or are you going to wait until the end of September?
The way that I read this, the next notice you would get would be a 5% increase of what.
Stop with the note. Don't worry about notice. That's a whole different section. And that goes along.
Days.
Pardon me?
We're not going to charge you until 90 days.
Perfect. So that's what I'd like. That's what I would like to see as a business owner written in there. After 90 days, you will be charged a misdemeanor plus all the interest rates that are proposed in here.
No. The interest rate thing is progressive.
I understand. I'm saying keep that
5% within whatever it says.
Yeah, keep it.
And that kind of
stuff. Keep it.
But you will be charged with a municipal infraction or whatever it's called after 90 days.
Exactly. Okay. That's
that
fine.
Work, Dave?
That would work. All right. Good with that. The only other point that I wanted to ask about, again, as a business owner, is the fact of where you want to put this in a publication after, I believe it's 30 days?
Yep.
Okay. I'm not big on public shaming anybody. You're asking for a pint of blood and a pound of flesh. I think we as a society have gotten to a point where we public shame too many people. We've got to make sure, speaking as a business owner, that we keep this town business friendly. That's not going to do any good.
Is it business friendly to have staff repeatedly to send a business invoices, call them on the phone, virtually begging them to pay this $75?
Agreed.
That works both ways.
Agreed.
If we're going to be business friendly, business has to be friendly to us. And by honoring your obligation to pay this $75 within a timely fashion is just being a good neighbor.
1,000% agree.
But if you're not being a good neighbor, there needs to be ramifications. And you call it public shaming. Mm-hmm. I call it motivation.
That's okay.
Hey, Tom.
That's fine.
Tom.
Sir.
Dean made a good point that the business needs to be friendly, and we need to be friendly.
Mm-hmm.
We are friendly because $75 is a drop in the bucket.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you.
I don't know why we're sitting up here fussing about $75.
No. It's fine.
We're having this discussion.
And this is why I asked for a list of who was out there. Now, I don't feel comfortable sharing the list with the public. That'll be up to mayor, town administrator, mayor,
not
council.
Not until this goes into effect.
I just want to add that.
We have the option now.
As currently written,
it's not required.
$75.
If you look at subsection.
Out.
Mm-hmm.
Currently says, even if this does not pass, the town reserves the right to post or otherwise publish the names of businesses
right.
which fail to comply.
You have that option.
It's already
now.
There. It's
yes,
been there.
It has
town,
been
the
there.
Town has
been
never
there
done
that.
We just haven't done
have
it.
Never
we
just haven't done it. Well, and this change moves it from an option, which is what it is in the current code, to a requirement in the process, which is my understanding of what was asked of us.
Yes.
So I took 45 minutes this afternoon once I got this list, and you see that before you. I never even heard of most of these businesses. So that's why I started doing the internet search, and I called them. Find out who was there, who wasn't there. It's a lot of push-ups for $525. What I'm asking is, so that we remain business-friendly, you won't notice the businesses here on Main Street that we all patronize. What I'm asking to mayor and council to consider, if you want to continue that, as I call public shaming, put that in at 60 or 90 days. If you need somebody and staff is busy and you need somebody to go to collect this $525, give me the word. I'll be more than happy to go do it because I know most of these folks on here now.
I'm confused again. Is this a list that's out in the public?
No, this is a list that the town administrator said to us.
There?
Huh?
Why are you talking about it down there?
I didn't mention any of the names.
I know, but you're discussing a $525 charge that should be up here being discussed, in my opinion.
That's your opinion. You're right to it. But it's my opinion as a business owner. This is the issue that I'm taking with the mayor and council, and this is what I'm asking. When you own a business, you'll see. I've owned it for almost 35 years. It's tougher than you think. You can smile all you want, but until you've made a payroll out of your own pocket for a year and worn several hats like a lot of these individual owners up here have,
It's difficult. I don't believe that these folks down here on the bottom in the green are absolutely hiding. Are they the best at bookkeeping? Are they best at keeping in touch with everything they need to be doing? More than likely not. Otherwise, they wouldn't be on here. I'm just asking you to consider it. That's all.
Does anyone have any questions for Don?
Thanks.
Thank you.
So it's legal to put these people's names. I had at one time, we had used to do this with the Homeowners Association, and I had an attorney come after me pretty hard. It wasn't legal to do that. So published past dues. We used to put it at the entrance of the community, and that I stopped because he scared me. I got you. Well, I hope we wouldn't do it until 90 days. If we're going to do it, I'd hope we'd wait until 90 days. I think the incentive's there to get it done.
It's not a legal issue, but I would be
perfect
with that.
Yeah.
I think 30 days, some people.
It just slipped. You know, some people just slipped.
I run my own business, too, and I pay bills once a month. And I might pay them on the 33rd day after I get it. So.
Yeah, I'd like to see it in 90 days.
I think making that mandatory after 30 days is, in my opinion, it's got nothing to do with legal.
Can I ask a question? In terms of if the council decides they want to amend this ordinance, are we talking about Section B in that first line where it says within 90 days? Is that? I mean, where does
no?
Where do we? If we're going to fix that, where does it show up in this document? Where do we amend this document? I want to make sure I understand that before we ask for a vote on it.
I would, if you're going to change that, I would add a paragraph E and just take that out of B.
Does it have to go through the publication again or no?
No.
Okay. So
let me make sure I understand, because I'm the one who's going to have to do this. So are you talking about making a separate Section E that refers to
yes.
the publication?
What I'm talking about is in Section B, after it says 5% increase in the fee,
mm-hmm.
put a period.
Right.
All right. And then scratch the rest.
And then make Section E, which would say failure to pay
my suggestion would be you tack it at the end and no payment within 90 days will result in a 24% increase to the fee.
That, okay.
And publication of the names
that,
of the business.
That would be fine. That would be fine
so
as
that's
well.
B2? Is that what
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
B2.
Yeah.
And
thank
the fees Lord. For those publications.
Sure. Or just public, you know, just post it to the website.
The website.
I wasn't anticipating actually purchasing ad space, but maybe sticking it on Facebook and sticking it on the town's website.
That's a planet.
And then subsection D has the First Amendment that Tom suggested, where you would put failure to obtain or renew a business license within 90 days, comma, as required pursuant to this title, constitutes a municipal infraction.
Okay. I'm clear.
All right, so basically, if I understand it, we're talking about two changes in the text of this proposed
Do you want to read them
ordinance.
Back to you?
Yes, please.
Laura Gatto.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's going to read, I'll start with B, so the changes. It'll read, any person liable to pay.
I turned that off accidentally. Any person liable to pay the business license fee who fails to pay the same within 30 days after it's due and payable shall be subject to a 5% increase in the fee. Period. Failure to pay after that point will result in penalties as follows. No payment within 60 days will result in a 12% increase in the fee. No payment within 90 days will result in a 24% increase in the fee and publication of the names of the businesses.
And then in subsection C, the town reserves, subsection D, failure to obtain or renew a business license within 90 days as required pursuant to this title constitutes a municipal infraction. And then the rest of it's the same. Mm-hmm. Do you concur, David?
I do.
Okay.
If there's a change that needs to be made, should it be made from us in the form of a motion or just?
Yes, it'll happen.
Yeah. Okay. I think ideally it would be as amended.
Right. Okay. So wait until after the
public hearing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then that would be a motion.
After the public hearing, everyone is, or whoever is in agreement with the amendment,
we'll
make a motion to amend this.
And then we have to have a majority.
Largest stated.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any other suggestions or comments? Okay. Hearing none, we close the public hearing, and now I'd like to see the council make a determination on any changes or amendments to this proposed ordinance. And if anyone has those suggestions, this would be the time to speak up.
Yes, I have one. For Section D, I would like to see that removed. I make a motion to remove Section D from Section 8-28 of licensing periods, penalties, and interest, and make that a standalone in the event that you do not have a business license in the town of Berlin. If you're operating a business without a business license.
I don't understand what you're saying.
The one that we discussed earlier when Mr. Smith was up here. I also agree that the Section D is confusing, and I would like to see that as if you're operating a business without a business license, that result in the failure to obtain a business license as required and then go to the municipal infraction. And then if you exhaust...
Well, if you fail to obtain or renew a license, you don't have one.
I said fail to obtain a license. And then if you put here with failure to renew, you would go back to the issue if you don't have a business license. Then you would have a municipal infraction. Does it make any sense?
Dave.
I'm working on limited sleep.
I'm not following you.
Dave.
I think it's, I don't mean to oversimplify, but one is if you already have a license and you're not paying it. The other is if you're operating without a license at all.
But it's two different.
They're both the same thing.
No.
If you don't renew it, you don't have one.
Yeah, but what happens if you don't have one in the beginning?
He means, I believe, that you have a business and you've never had one. Opposed to, I have a business license and, oops, I forgot to pay it.
Correct.
But you still don't
that's
have...
That's the difference. I understand what you're saying.
It's not a
difference. But that's not...
If you don't renew it, you don't have one.
Okay, but if you don't have the money to begin with, then does that? Then if I start a business, I'm sorry. If I start a business and I don't obtain a business license, then
what happens?
This ordinance, as written, I get 30 days before I get to have to pay a license. Before I get as written, I don't even have to obtain a license for 90 days. If I decide I want to start a business and I don't care or I didn't pay any attention to how to get a business. This ordinance, as written, says I got 90 days before I can get a license. And sure, I got to pay a fee, but I don't have to get a license for 90 days as of July 1st. That's what that says.
And I mean, I'm not the only one that's confused. I've been stopped a lot on the street about how that's aligned.
Separating that into a separate thing separates out the two different things. I also would argue that putting this under some aegis that it's under the discretion of the town, who in town gets to make the decision. I understand Dave's going to make that decision, but when does that get enforced? Is there anything specific that says this is definitely going to happen on day 91? Without that being in there, then where's the discretion? I might be somebody that Dave likes today, and so he's not going to write me a ticket, and then next week he doesn't like me, and so he does. There has to be something very specific that makes it across the board. It applies to everyone. It's not up to the discretion of anyone. This is going to happen on day 91. Because otherwise,
but you're also assuming that on day one, when you open your business, someone in town is aware that your business is open.
Well, sure, absolutely. I mean, that's
how is that? How is that ensured?
The code can't ensure that the town is going to have every idea about what's happening in town.
Right.
The code can't say that. That is correct. Which is why there have to be teeth at the beginning. If you want to put teeth in it, put teeth and make it clear.
Without being
I think there would have to be a notification process. You would have to say.
It says failure to obtain or renew. It's very clear.
Okay. Well,
okay, but at what point?
I don't find the clarity.
The ordinance says it says failure to obtain or renew. At what point?
Well, you know, now it's been changed to within 90 days, but as originally written, as originally written, the language is failure to obtain or renew. To me, it's very clear.
Okay, and it was changed.
But it's been changed
within 90 days,
right?
So, as a new business owner, I have 90.
That was my point earlier.
And you're paying the same fee. If you went ahead and paid for a business license for 1 year, and you paid on June the 1st, $75. What's the difference between $75 in February? That's what you're saying.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
But I would still like to see something very clear.
The time to start a business to get a license.
Yes.
And the thing is, you have individuals that go ahead and have no clue that they need to have a business license in town.
Yeah.
They actually go to the county, go ahead and go to the health department, fill all this paperwork out, and then they get surprised and have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we all have to work together to get that point when everybody's on notice and move forward from there.
I would just like to see something very clear that doesn't leave that discretion. It says after 91 days, man, that's it. You're going to be fine. If you're going to do it, then it should be there, and if you're not, you're not. Because then you're back up to the possibility of cronyism, and it's how much you got. You know, if you're going to be pocket, and then you won't have to go to the jail.
And I'm confused if you follow this down. Like, you get past 90 days, and then you're putting it a transfer. Town reserves the right to transfer the fee and penalties to the business's water bill. And then if you progress to D, which would be a logical step, then you're going to say failure to obtain or renew a business license after you've transferred the fee to their water bill.
No.
Am
Once
I incorrect?
Once they're transferred, there is no step. They're transferred.
Transfer
the fee
and penalties.
The process stopped right there. If they're not transferred, then you follow the next step.
I mean, and that's going to create its own issue, I believe, if we send some to the water side and we send some to the county court.
we can manage that.
Yeah. But may I make suggestions? There's been a lot of different discussion here.
Yeah,
I suggest that if the council approves that, that you basically make the changes that I and see if that is what we agree. Get it to us before, not the last minute, before the next meeting, and let everybody look through it, and then we know what we're talking about.
Natalie, when do you have to send the bills out for business licenses, right? Right. So the idea is that this would be effective. The idea here is that it would be effective July 1st. If you delay taking action tonight, that won't happen.
Probably can talk about it. Still like that.
Something I don't understand. Why 90 days in Baltimore City, when I opened my locksmith shop up, I had to have a license before I unlocked that door.
Thank you.
I don't understand 90 days.
What are we discussing?
I'm very liberal down here.
What?
When I came down here, I had a license before I started my business. I've been here since 73. I don't practice anymore. I'm retired.
And there is a process in place. If you're a brand new business licensee and you decided to operate, you have to go through the process. You have to go through the inspection. You have to open water and sewer and electric accounts. And you will not be able to do all that unless you have business license. We're discussing here a situation, what if somebody decides to fell off through the hole and not obtain a license? I think it's slim chance because you're not going to operate without the state and a business in the town.
But the state doesn't tell us anything. They won't tell us anything.
Let's leave them alone. But you have to open a business to operate a business. And if you don't obtain license, that's where the ordinance come in place.
What happens if you operate a business out of your home?
Then you're not a business. I'm sorry.
Yes, you are.
I've been in business on that road for 45
if
years.
Then you have to apply for a license.
I have it.
Dogs
I've always had it.
She brings dogs in our home.
And my sign's out front, and I'm grandfathered with the sign.
Oh, good.
The town of Berlin, the grandfathering with that sign. I've been there that long. Once I take it down, I can't put it back up.
So the intent of raising this issue was to get it resolved. And so when I asked back in April to set the public hearing for this meeting tonight, the timing was important in order to get the penalties in place for this
filling, sort of this filing of the licenses, right? So the idea is it would be effective July 1st. So you can delay it if you'd like to, but
you're saying that if we make sure everybody's in agreement as to what we're doing here, that we can't do this on May 28th and put it in effect July 1st?
That's correct.
Because of the advertising?
Well, you've got a timing issue with regard to the notification, and yes.
The publication.
If you want to delay it, that's fine.
So, in other words, it would go into effect July 15th.
July 15th, July 30th.
I just want to make sure everybody understands what we're doing here. That's important more than if it's July 1st or July 15th. If we did nothing, nothing would happen. But I want to make sure what we do here has the support of the majority of the council, right down to the details. And, you know, we don't have to have unanimous support, but I'd like to make sure that there is as much support as possible with everybody understanding what we're trying to do.
Can I ask a question? Did you close the public hearing?
Yes.
Okay. So what I heard was a motion on Councilmember Tindall's behalf. Did you want to vote the motion up and down, or did you prefer to table it and
move it to the front to say, hey, look, you need to have a license. If you don't have a license, it'll be a misdemeanor. But that's my motion.
That's the motion. You have a motion. We now take a vote as to pass the motion.
Discussion necessary or not?
I still don't understand why he wants to put it there.
The reason that I want to put it there is because I've been approached a lot outside of here about people thinking that this is an onerous portion, whereas if you move it to the part where it says, hey, look, if you're operating a business without a license, it's a misdemeanor, then it's clear. Here it looks like it's some financial penalty that rolls down, and that's the flack that I'm getting on the street.
When you say put it to the front, what's the front?
Or the top. How's that? Say something along the lines of, if you're operating a business without a license, it would result in some form of notification that would lead to a misdemeanor.
Well, how about this? If you go to section 8-22, where it says license required.
Yes.
How about if we add to section A, if it would say, with the exception of vendors, no person shall operate any business establishment within the town without obtaining an annual license from the town. Failure to obtain a license shall result in a misdemeanor as described in section 8-28.
There you go.
I could live with that.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Did you get that, Laura?
I did, thank you.
All right, so.
So you would.
That's the motion. What he says is my motion.
Okay. So, yeah.
Repeat it.
Well, no, we do need a motion. If we're going to pass something, we have to make sure that we're all on the same page as to what you're voting up or down.
She's going to be locking the door.
It's all Dave.
Okay, so we need to take a motion on Council Member Tindall's motion. We need to take a vote about the amendment that was just discussed between the town attorney and Councilman Tindall.
Bless you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, so that now this text has been revised. Now that it has been revised, I ask to see if anyone wishes to vote on this ordinance 2019-01.
We'll approve ordinance 2000-01 with Zach's motion and the other edits that have been discussed.
Okay. All right. We have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to pass this ordinance with all the changes that have been just discussed, especially summarized in the last couple minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Okay. All right. All right, next we're on we made it to item four.
Four.
We're on item four, okay, of the agenda. The next item on the agenda is the first reading and introduction of Ordinance 2019-02. The fiscal year 2020 budget introduction. And the proposed budget does not include any raises for town employees, no one-time payment at Thanksgiving, and no BJ's or Sam's Club's cards. It retains the one-time $50 gift certificate to employees at Thanksgiving, a long-standing town tradition which I would like to continue. This has been a challenging budget cycle. That's an understatement. I suggest that after the new fiscal budget process is completed in June, that the mayor and council examine, review, or establish the following policies or procedures. So this is what I'm asking you for to consider once you've made a decision as to whether to move forward this budget tonight. We don't have to decide this tonight, but be start first thinking reading. About it. Yeah, this is the first reading. But I would like for you to think about coming up after the budget is officially passed in June, that we need to establish a reserve balance policy for the town based on our obligations and risk, just as we had the earlier discussion about. A quarterly report on the status of the overall budget for each department at a regular council session meeting in October, January, May, and August of each year. And that other additional steps include the need to conduct a comprehensive study of Berlin's sewer fees to support the current debt service, but to also fund the capital projects that are inevitable to replace aging infrastructure. The council should review all fees on a regular basis to ensure they cover the costs of the services provided. I also believe we need to start the process of reviewing and establishing the real property tax rate for FY21 next January, with the adoption of the tax rate completed before the end of March. This would enable all town departments to prepare expenses and recommend capital expenditures for the next budget year. This would also require the mayor and council to formulate a capital plan as part of the annual budget process with projected needs for the immediately following years. So that's my comments for introducing this. And now, Laura, if you will do the first reading of this ordinance.
Sure. Ordinance 2019-02, an ordinance of the mayor and council of the town of Berlin approving the fiscal 20 budget as submitted.
Okay.
That's it.
Well,
and the budget's been posted on the website, so this is the budget as submitted.
For the record, just so everybody knows, this budget, the total for the general fund, the electric utility, water fund, sewer fund, and stormwater, total for the entire budget is $15.6 million. That is a reduction from $18.2 million, which is our current budget, which reflects $2.5 million less in revenues and expenses, which represents a 14% reduction. I just wanted that to be part of the record.
The introduction.
Okay. So now the next part of the process will be when the budget is formally. We have a public hearing, and then the formal budget adoption, and if any last-minute amendments are made, they have to be made on Monday, June 10th. Okay? We all understand that? Okay, next is we're now up to item 5, which is the Berlin Fire Company request for early processing of their final quarterly payment by this week, May 15th.
This Wednesday.
Thank you. Okay. Gentlemen, we all know each other, but if you're just introduce yourselves for the record.
Sure. Good evening, Mayor Council. Dave Fitzgerald, President, Berlin Fire Company, Emergency Medical Services Incorporated.
John Holloway, EMS Captain, Berlin Fire Company.
Thank you. Thank
Good
you.
Evening.
Sure. We've discussed this our last two quarterly reports, as well last year went during the budget process. With the cash flow for the emergency medical service operating accounts. We provide you the balance sheet as of May the 6th or May the 5th, actually that evening, and then we provide the projected cash flow from that date until the end of the fiscal year on June 30th. And as you can see, the cash flow several times is in the negative, so we're requesting payment of the last quarterly payment, which in the agreement does say on or before. So that is your pleasure to do that, and you did that last quarter, and we appreciate it so that we can continue on with positive cash flow in the emergency medical services operating accounts.
When you said on or before, when was it scheduled to be made?
This was not till July.
This
30 days past the fiscal year completion, the end of July. July of 2019, this year.
This coming July?
It's payment for the services that we're providing now from April 1 to June 3rd.
When we developed this agreement, somewhere I recall that these payment schedules was one thing that was discussed and possibly needed to be adjusted as we go on. Now coming for the upcoming year, we have went through a year, and we know what to anticipate. So we will be able to set in our plan for the upcoming year exact payment dates with everybody expecting and knowing everything that needs to be known.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
So these are funds needed for your operation.
That's correct. For the payroll that's due on Friday.
Well, I personally think this is a reasonable request being made by the fire department. But going forward, all had to know what to expect. Now, I'm saying this is a reasonable request. I won't be so agreeable if we come back next year after we agree on something and there needs to be more justice. Now, I think that's clear.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
But in this case, I would recommend that we approve this request. I would move that we approve this request made by the fire department.
We have a motion by Councilman Burrell to approve the request to make the final payment for the EMS Corporation, operated by the Berlin Fire Company, in the amount of $88,750, so that they can basically keep everything paid up. And all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Thank you.
And thank you very much.
And let me put this way. Between now and the beginning of the next fiscal year, I think you all think about it, discuss what's up. Let's see if we can't come up with a date that we can all work with and anticipate. And, you know, if the original dates are a little too late, hopefully I'd like to think that between us that we can find out some common ground here, because, you know, two months earlier is one extreme. Certainly what was initially proposed is not working. See if you can go back and see if we can present us with a compromise that will work for you guys, but also will align with the
report.
Yeah, work for us as well.
Right.
Okay. I have a question too.
Yes, sure.
Before you leave, Kim, I sent an email this morning asking where we stood with the agreement for FY20. Can we discuss that while everybody's here, like where we stand with the contract for services for next fiscal year that's quickly approaching?
I can't really discuss attorney-client privilege, but I can tell you the day I was in contact with the attorney today, and that was the last things we were working on with these cash flow dates. We wanted to pull up, there was like 9 drafts last year. Wow. So we wanted to pull up the last draft to see what those dates were, and then Mr. Berge is going to review the cash flow, and then the contract proposal should be to you as soon as Mr. Moore looks over it one more time.
And last year we got together and talked as a group a couple times. Is there a way that we could do that before we execute an agreement for next fiscal year? I think that would be beneficial.
Because it took months of multiple meetings to get the agreement. Now we're talking about fine-tuning, which probably will go on every year for several years, maybe every year.
But we're getting close to the end, and I'd like to see us put one on the books if we could.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, we have to have one by July 1st to continue forward.
Yeah. I don't want to wait till June. No. the late changes figured out. No, I think it's a great suggestion, and I would, like I say, you all get come back with a proposal, and you know, we get on the agenda, wouldn't it be no problem?
Cool. Thank you. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is our departmental reports for tonight's council meeting.
I have one thing to discuss about the budget. We have the reports that you've seen so far for introduction. I will be changing some naming of the line items that have been suggested. As an example, prior year reserve wasn't so clear what exactly it stands for.
Or prior year surplus. That's the
prior
one.
Year surplus. Yeah. So I'm discussing for the better naming of the line items, such as prior year surplus or transfers or contributions. So you will see exact the same numbers on the adoption, but the names will change slightly. And when I send the reports for adoption, I will point to them, highlight them.
Well, in other words, with the email that you send it, it'll be an attachment, but you'll be able to point out what
Correct.
Changes have been made in terminology. And
not the amounts, but just the names.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Right. Thank you. Next is Jamie Latcham for Mayor.
I have nothing. This
okay.
Evening.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. We had our Maryland Rural Water Conference last week. We had two people win awards this year. Keith Dukes got Maintenance Specialist of the Year, which does a lot of stuff at the treatment plant, servicing, trying to keep up on equipment to cut costs down. And Marvin accepted on Jane's behalf for Decision Maker of the Year. But the Decision Maker is just not for this year. It goes back in total to everything she's done, you know, for her 30 years as being a member, too, also. So those two, you know, Dukes was very happy about it. He didn't even have no clue, which nobody did. I was one of the only ones that knew anything about it. Mm-hmm. But that's all we have. And bulk pickup will be Thursday's trash pickup will be Wednesday's scheduled for Wednesday.
Wednesday and Thursday trash pickup.
Yeah. Sorry. Wednesday and Thursday trash pickup be scheduled for Wednesday for bulk pickup.
I'll get done in one day.
And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Jamie?
I don't understand. Wednesday and Thursday of what?
Wednesday and Thursday's trash pickup. Normal pickup on Wednesday and Thursday. Your bulk pickup will be picked up on Wednesday. This Wednesday.
This Wednesday.
Just bulk pickup, not your regular household. Your household will be picked up too.
On the regular day.
It's just them days are combined on that day for bulk pickup.
Okay, I understand.
Sorry, I've had one of those days too.
Yeah.
So am I.
Okay. Next is the Police Chief Arnold Downing.
Mayor, I'm sorry. Can I suggest something?
Sure.
This kind of things need to be discussed as a first agenda item. We had Electric Department last time nominated. Now we have Water and Sewer Department nominated. But the public is gone. Can we change the flow so we can discuss this kind of items and we can show and be proud of what actually achieved in the departments, and so everybody can participate.
It's a good idea.
Valid point. Okay.
It is.
I see Thank no you. Reason if just, everybody agrees.
Just a
thought. Thank you for bringing that up.
Sorry, Arnold.
No, not a problem. And again, great idea.
Should we stop on
yes.
the way home?
Good evening, everyone. We want to go ahead and say thank you very much to Sunrise Church. They did a law enforcement, public safety appreciation day, and they went ahead and had all the local fire departments and law enforcement agencies a little cookout for the families on Saturday, and it was very appreciative, and we say thank you very much for the continued support. The agency has completed the body-worn camera general order. We'll be out there sending it to Laura and to Dave for review, hopefully to go ahead and be looked at in the next 2 weeks or in the next 4 weeks for adoption by the mayor and council. And again, I'm going to be ivy to the punch. The last couple weekends, again, the events themselves were greatly attended. And we've actually had no issues, no major problems, but again, definitely a push on manpower and definitely a workout. We're waiting for June with less events.
I have one thing for the chief. Isn't it Law Enforcement Appreciation Week? I think I saw something on the news about that, and MSP's collecting food. If it is, I'm pretty sure it is. We appreciate you. If I'm incorrect, then we still appreciate you. But I'm pretty sure it's Law Enforcement Appreciation Week.
Good.
That's every week.
Thank you.
Yeah, every week.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. The only thing I have tonight is at your next meeting on May 28th, which is a Tuesday, because Memorial Day is on the 27th, we've advertised, it was in the newspaper this past Thursday, and it will be again this coming Thursday, a public hearing to be held on the recommendation of the Planning Commission to annex the parcels for Mr. Buis and Athena Properties up on North Main Street, Maryland Route 818. Those are parcels known as County Tax Map Number 25, Parcel 489, and Tax Map 25, Parcel 417 for annexation. The Planning Commission passed a motion at its March 13th meeting to recommend to the Mayor and Council that these properties be annexed into the corporate boundaries of the town of Berlin. So that'll be on part of the Mayor and Council meeting on May 28th, again, Tuesday, because Memorial Day is the day before, our next meeting. Was there any questions? I know we had questions earlier about annexations and buying properties. To me, they're separate items. They were, you know, the one gentleman, he was linking the two.
But this annexation, again, is all by the private sector. It's not the town. And the sewer and water lines have been there for the last several years, so that as people wanted to convert those properties to something other than undeveloped land, fields, or older residences, they would have that ability to do that. And that's what this case is. The town doesn't have to put anything in. Everything's there to serve Sunrise Church and other Berlin Main Place and other businesses in that area.
They've had to pay for, if you want to call it, the internal infrastructure on the properties. They have to pay to hook up to our pipe, which is in Main Street in Maryland Route 818. But they pay for everything. We don't pay for those pipes. We don't pay for that hookup. They do. Same with the parcels we do serve with Berlin Electric. Same thing. They pay for those transformers. They pay for the poles if they're added. It's all paid for by the developer. It's not. And then they, once annexed, then they are part of the town tax rolls. They will be assessed real estate taxes just like anybody else who's a member of the town.
And I appreciate the explanation, because forever there's been the belief, I don't know what else to call it, that the town provides all that and the private sector doesn't, and it's just exactly the opposite.
No.
And I'm glad you brought it up, because it's something I guess we'll have to repeat more often. But I appreciate it. Okay?
Make sure you get a business license.
That's another point in all of that discussion. Natalie made an excellent point. Someone who comes to us, that maybe there's an empty space in one of the buildings that Ivy's talked to a merchant who wants to come to town. We're creatures of habit now. If it's on Main Street, she'll tell them, talk to Dave about Historic District Commission for your sign. And if they come in to see me first, what do I need for a permit? I want to remodel that storefront or the interior. I'll say, make sure you go down and see Ivy for a business license. I can even give you the application. And we give them the application. And the ladies downstairs who work in finance, they'll say to them when they're inquiring about hooking up their water account or their electric account as a new merchant, they'll tell them the same thing. You know, your permits will come from planning, your business license will come from economic development. So we're all used to trying to, round up these people into, we're helping you, and it's orderly, and it happens pretty quick. So I have to say that. You know, we all work as a team pretty well. So
I appreciate that. And, you know, again, just speaking for myself, I think some of the folks, they've either forgotten or they're busy or they have other priorities. And those folks who haven't gotten business licenses for some time, I think just blew it off at some point for whatever reason. And I think what we're trying to do is and continue to make it as easy and as upfront as possibly can. And I think once something gets out there and people realize there's now teeth in that ordinance, that I don't think it'll become this kind of problem on this level ever again. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any questions for Dave? Next is Economic Community Development Director Ivy Wells.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. First, I'd like to actually, I wasn't going to talk about the business license, but now that Dave has brought it up, I feel like I need to say just one thing. Typically, when you, how do I explain this? I think that the reason that this came about is not because of everyone. It's because there's a very select few businesses that either had never paid or continuously paid late. And you can't just single out someone and put a penalty on them and make sure that, okay, well, if you're not going to pay, then this is what's going to happen to you. It's got to be across the board. Last year, for two business licenses, I literally went and told them and begged them. I handed them. I said, please, please pay your business license. You have to pay. And this business assured me that they would pay, and then they still didn't pay. And then months went by, and I went in person. Again, I said, please, you've got to pay your business license. We never shut a business down. We never did anything detrimental to their business except just ask them to pay their business license. And they still didn't, and they still haven't. So a lot of this that we've been going round and round about doesn't – the most of the businesses – I mean, there's a lot of businesses here. They're all so amazing to work with. And then you have a few that, unfortunately, we have to go through this in order to get other businesses to pay. So I wanted to put that out there.
Thank you.
So Friday night was Reggae Play Day that Ocean 98 sponsors. They're the ones who book the bands. They pay for the bands and the town. We reap the benefits of that. The Berlin Main Street program gets the benefit of the alcohol sales that evening. And I wanted to thank Mark and Laura for volunteering their time that night. They stayed there all night and helped pour wine that evening, so thank you very much. There's Chamber of Commerce also helped that evening. We are getting ready to start the ambassador program the end of May. We are still looking for volunteers for the ambassador program if anyone wants to be an ambassador for the town for 2 hours. You get to talk about the restaurants and how great the shops are and history of the town. We're always looking for new volunteers, so if you know someone to be interested, please have them contact my office. And then last but not least, I do still have about $10,000 left in facade grant money for commercial businesses downtown. It does not necessarily have to be on Main Street. As long as you're in the historic district, in the Main Street district, you can apply for facade grant funding to help fix your windows, the facade of your building. I do want to put that out there because I had $30,000, $20,000 of that is spoken for. So the sooner you apply, the better. And that's it.
Thank you. Thank you. Any questions for Ivy? And lastly, Jeff Leakwinter, Managing Director.
Good evening. May 21, 22, 23 in this chamber will be open and enrolled. 21st will be in the morning. 22nd, it's all day from 8 to 4. On the 23rd, it's in the afternoon. I respectfully ask that each and every one of you and all employees come up and let me see your smiling face for 5 minutes.
But what about if you don't
You have the beneficiary on your life insurance, and I want to update with you. Please.
Nothing's changed. My wife is still my wife. I know. I know. I'm just saying. I think we need to know why we should be there.
Well, I want to make sure you have no changes. I want to make sure you know what you have.
I know.
There we go. That's even better.
That's fine.
Okay.
What's the dates again?
May 21st, 8 a.m. until noon. May 22nd, 8 until 4. May 23rd, 1 until 4. If you have no benefits for the town, you shouldn't be up here to find me. You'd be out here to find me. And I'll give you a bottle of water.
Okay. That's a good incentive.
That's all.
Thank you. Thank you. Next is our town administrator's report.
I have nothing to report.
Okay. All right. I have no comments. Does any? So, excuse me. We have comments from the council.
No, sir.
No.
Yes, I have something to say. And I wish.
Microphone, please.
Well,
thank you.
Can you hear me now?
Good.
Natalie talked about the public leaving, and I just wanted them to know that the input they have provided in this process has been invaluable. I think that it has, and like I said last time, for the most part, everyone that spoke to us, I think comments have been appropriate. But some comments, I think, were mean-spirited, let's say. But you have provided an invaluable service to us as your town leaders and to your community in general, just by coming here and saying what you think, what you would like to see. I'm a social worker, and sometimes as a social worker, you get to feel that you know what is best for your clients, and you may stop listening. It is important always to listen at your customers. I think by providing this input during this budget session, I can't speak for everyone on this council, but I think your input and your concern and your comments and your genuine interest has made me a better council person. And for that, I want to thank you, and I encourage your continued participation and your continued input, because it can only make us better and make us a better town in general. So I thank you, and I look forward to hearing your comments and your ideas going forward. That's all I have.
Thank you. Thank you.
I agree.
Okay. Do we have any comments from the public? Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Microphones. I had to be away for your work session. You've seen me. I've been at all the meetings. So I couldn't be at your work session, so I got to listen to it online. And I wanted to just thank you for all the infrastructure that you've done to make sure that you could do that. It was really valuable to me to sit there and listen to it on my iPad in the state of Missouri, actually. So, if you could, everybody get a microphone. That would be. I don't know if you have the budget. When you have the microphones, it's much easier to hear you back here. It's just, and the, like I said, listening to it online was very helpful because I couldn't make it. So I just wanted to thank you for
Thank you. And again, that would be something I know, I think it's a very good suggestion. I don't know if we have it, but that's if we can look into what, I'm hoping it doesn't mean a replacement of the whole system, but let's see. I mean, it's a good suggestion, and we are open to doing that. And we just have to find out. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Is there any other comments? Okay, any questions or comments from the press?
Move to adjourn.
Okay, we stand adjourned. Thank you.
Feel better.
Oh, boy. You're on the road to recovery, though, right?
Yeah, something like that.
What did you have? Yeah. The real deal. Sorry about your brother, but that happened at the same time?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I went to G's house when he took 3 steps back.